goodness gracious. I'm looking at the computer and I can actually see it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I am the chief geek in charge. That's me. And I am here. I should shut my phone off. Shut the speaker of my phone off because somebody's going to call. They always do, like when I'm right in the middle of this. Okay, there. That's off. All right. Good. That's done. Got that covered. How y'all doing? I am so delighted that you are here. Guess what I did yesterday? Oh, I'm recording this on Thursday, February 7th. Where has the year gone? Where? January just kind of like, boom. It like showed up. By the way, we had 80 degree temperatures here today, and it was very delightful. Winter seems to be done for a while. Hopefully. Hopefully. But anyway, and I need to mow my lawn again. I actually need to mow my lawn again. I'm mowing my lawn more than, yeah, that's going to happen. But I'm told I'm not allowed to mow my lawn for a week because yesterday on Wednesday, I went and had a cataract removed from my left eye. And my goodness gracious sakes alive, was it good to have that done? I was nervous as could be because I don't like people messing with my eyes, but you have no idea how bad it had gotten. I noticed, I don't know, about a year and a half ago that things weren't looking, well, probably longer than that, probably 2.5 years ago, I noticed that, you know, floaters and things like that going on. And I said, okay, this is weird. And I'm one of these people, you know, and I actually went to the eye doctor. And I went to the optometrist. There. I went to the optometrist. And to, you know, because I hadn't been for a while and I needed glasses, I'm sure. So I went there. And, you know, I didn't understand. I know plants. I know a bunch of stuff. But I didn't understand about eye doctors. Okay. Optometrists are not medical doctors. I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. They're the chiropractors of the eye world, okay, is what they are. They can give you a good eye exam. They can tell you, you know, you need glasses. They got all this machinery to do all this stuff. They got all this. And at that time, I was noticing floaters. And I didn't know, you know, so I tell the lady, yeah, I got floaters. You know, I see little things just like floating on by. And yep, those are called floaters. And she looks and she goes, you know, you got the start of a cataract. I said, oh, what's that? You know, she goes, don't worry. It's not big enough for your insurance to do anything with it right now. And, you know, but, you know, it just might get big, but probably not. You're probably going to be fine. Here, you need these glasses. So I got the glasses. Off I went out into the world. And, you know, so then about a year later, well, then I just started noticing on my left eye, I wasn't seeing good out of it. And I would take my glasses off, or I would, you know, even with my glasses on, I'd stick my hand over my right eye and things were blurry. And I said, this ain't right. So then I went to another optometrist, you know, and I went there because I knew this guy from a computer club that I had belonged to a million years ago. I mean, a million years ago, 35 years ago, anyway, that I had known this guy. Well, come to find out, he had sold the practice and moved to Denver. But I went in there and I got what I thought was a very thorough eye exam. And they said, yeah, you got a cataract. I said, oh. And they said, but it's not big enough for your insurance company to take it out, but you got it. I said, okay. They said, we're going to give you, you know, more corrective lenses, blah, 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 blah. Off I go. Well, then all of a sudden, it just started getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, which takes us down to, I don't know, September, maybe August. I am in Bradenton, Florida. My son is with me. And I go and I'm looking, actually went down there to look at a couple of trees for a client of mine, and I go there, and this woman is buying the house. And she was a beautiful woman that is buying the house. And she said, and I'm out in the front yard, hadn't gone to the backyard. She says, could you come and look in the backyard for me? I said, sure. So I went back there. I, you know, looked at the tree, determined what was wrong with the tree, diagnosed that whole situation. And the situation, it was a palm, had butt rot. I said, take the palm out. Yeah, it's dead, Jim. And, you know, and here's my bill. But, you know, this lady is nice. And she's, so she takes me by the hand and she takes me into the backyard. I got to tell you, I was so impressed with their backyard. This really eclectic group of plantings, very eclectic. I mean, very artistic, very eclectic. Plants put together I'd never seen put together. She had asparagus fern growing next to snake plants, which was like odd. And then right smack in the middle of all of that, she had a spathiphyllum coming up. And I, you know, that's an odd combination, but it looked pretty, you know. And she had, you know, a couple of citrus trees. And I told her what was going wrong with the citrus trees. And she's asking me just gads of questions. And my son's like ready to go. You know, we'd come, we'd done what we were there to do. It's time to go. You know, we got to go. There's a restaurant down there we'd like to go to. And he's like, you know, let's go to that. And I'm sitting there talking to this beautiful woman. Well, we, you know, get done with all this. And I find out she's an ophthalmologist. And by the way, she's a beautiful ophthalmologist. I was like in love. And my son is like, we got to go. And I said, okay, I've done something for you. Now you have to do something for me. And she says, what's that? I said, I need you to look at my left eye and tell me what's going on there. She said, take your glasses off. I took my glasses off. She puts both hands on the side of my face and she draws herself into me and tapes my head a little bit. I thought she was going to kiss me. I mean, I was, you know, I said, Zach, meet your new mom. And, you know, but no, she's like looking and she said, you got a cataract. And she goes, you can't see a cataract unless you dilate. And she's telling me all this stuff and, you know, and she's edumacating me. But she said, you need to go and get that taken care of right now. She said, the reason she saw the cataract is because the light was just right, you know, and the sun coming down. She just caught me. She couldn't tell how big it was. She couldn't, but she knew. And, you know, we talked, you know, and she's asking me general health questions and all this. I said, why are you asking me general health questions? She goes, well, because I'm an ophthalmologist. I'm a medical doctor. I said, you got to tell me about this. So I said, how does this work? She goes, ophthalmologists are medical doctors. We go to medical school. We do the cadaver thing. We do all that stuff. You know, we go into residencies. We do all this. But we concentrate on eyes, anything optical. I said, oh. I said, what about the optometrists? And she goes, oh, well, optometrists don't go to medical school. They go to college and they go to optometry school, and you know, which takes a couple of years, and they come out and they can give you eye exams and sell you glasses. I said, all right. But, you know, if you got a cataract, you know, she goes, I'm an ophthalmologist. I can operate on your eye and get rid of your, you know, I said, oh, she goes, but I don't do that anymore. She goes, I'm getting ready to retire. I said, oh, which is why I bought this house. I'm going to spend my days out here on the plants and looking at stuff and hanging out. I said, well, that's really good. I said, well, I live in Clearwater. I live, you know, from where she's at. I'm 50 miles away. I said, thank you very much. So I come back and I go through this terrible thing I may have shared with you, trying to get to see with my insurance company, last year's insurance company, trying to get through to see an ophthalmologist. And they sent me to these terrible, they sent me up to see an ophthalmologist. Well, as it turns out, the ophthalmologist sent me to see an optometrist first. I had to go through all this monkey stuff. And in November, I finally go down to meet the ophthalmologist. And they put me through this whole, you know, testing thing again. And then they say, okay, that's fine. Come back in the end of January, and we're going to measure up your eyes. And I said, wait a minute, we're not going to get this done before the end of the year? And they said, no, we're booked up. Got to come back in January. I'm not mad. So then in January, I got new insurance. And by the way, they told me I probably wouldn't get the surgery done until March or maybe even April. And I was not happy because I got to tell you, it was so bad. Driving at night was totally impossible. Driving during the day was next to impossible. It was getting worse, getting worse, getting worse. So I new insurance, new doctor. I called up. I said, listen, I don't want to see an optometrist. I want to see the doctor. Turns out I had met this doctor before personally. I got right in. They did the surgery yesterday. Boom goes the dynamite. I went back today for my checkup. It was great. And now I'm just fine. It was great. Surgery was a breeze. It was wonderful. It was like 5 minutes to do the surgery. He told me today that I had three different types of cataracts, which I thought was odd. I said, well, if you're going to have a bunch of cataracts, you may have the good ones, right? And well, you had three different ones. You were a little bit challenging. He said, but we got them all out. And guess what? I'm only using readers now. I'm not wearing glasses during the day. And the colors are so much brighter. And it's so good. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. So, looking at my yard today, I have to mow it again. This is February, and I have to mow my yard again. I have mowed my yard a whole bunch of times. I can't mow my yard because I just had a cataract surgery yesterday. And the doctor said, don't mow your yard for 2 weeks. Well, he said, don't do anything, you know, jumping around. And I said, well, I do yard work, you know, around the house. And he said, well, don't climb any ladders. And he says, don't bend over. And he said, don't do something weird like mowing your lawn. I said, mowing my lawn is zen. I like mowing my lawn. Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I'm your chief geek. And, you know, I had that surgery yesterday. Today, I could see my yard. My yard looks gorgeous. I could see every blade of grass as I'm standing there in my front yard, looking down at my grass. It was, you know, if you've ever had cataract surgery, you know what I'm talking about. You know, if you have a good surgeon, I had a marvelous surgeon. You know the miracles of happening. And I'm somebody who works with plants, man. I'm telling you, I don't know how I've done this for the past year, because it has been steadily getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. That I just had a very difficult time. I've had a very difficult time looking at computers. I had a very difficult time reading. I had a very, if I book with white pages, the whiteness was just taking over the black. I would look at yards, or I would look at plants, and I would see a scale on there, but I couldn't tell what the scales were. I had to adjust everything and just look. It was horrible. Now, I tell you what, man, I'm looking at my hibiscus out in the front today, and it had, beautiful blooms on it. And I was just admiring those blooms so much. I was just saying, oh, my goodness, look what the Lord has made us. And I can see it. And I'm just, oh, I'm so grateful for that. So, but not allowed to mow the grass for 2 weeks, but it needs to be mowed. Yeah, and you think, I've got five kids, and three of them live in town. Think I can get any of them to mow my yard? I don't think so. So, and my yard really doesn't need to be mowed. I just think it needs to be mowed. My next door neighbor hasn't mowed his yard, and his doesn't look like it needs to be mowed either, but I would mow it if it was my yard. So that's just one of the weird things that I'm going through, but I am so blessed that I can see all the blemishes in my yard right now. And I can see all of these things, and it's wonderful. I went back. I had surgery yesterday. I went back today. I record this on Thursday. I went back today for the checkup, and I had this terribly, terribly weird thought about going for my checkup today. Now, staff there is just wonderful. I said, wouldn't it be interesting if before I went, I got some of that stage makeup with blood, and I put it underneath my eye and had blood running down under my eye. Wouldn't that be interesting? But no, I could not do it. It'd be funny, I thought, but I could not do that because they were all so wonderful, and I wouldn't want my ophthalmologist to have a thrombo looking at me. But no, I didn't do that at all. And he said, everything's good. I am not wearing glasses except to read. I am not wearing glasses. He said, I used to have to wear glasses for distance. And he said, well, the one eye we didn't do anything to. He said, but try today to go without glasses. He said, and if you decide you're going to wear the glasses, you got to go and you got to get the lens taken out of the left one where they did the surgery. He said, because that's going to mess you up if you wear glasses that have that prescriptions, because that eye doesn't need a prescription. You're going to need readers. So I did that. I took a leap of faith and I did. I got in my truck when I left there, took my glasses off, set them on the seat next to me, and off I went. And I went to Walgreens. And he said, oh, you need sunglasses. And I said, yeah. He said, you know, after the surgery, if you're outside a lot, yeah, I'd prefer you get some sunglasses. So I went to Walgreens and I bought some Foster Grants sunglasses and then readers. So I bought a pair of readers. I've never bought readers in my life. I bought a pair of readers, which I'm wearing right now. And I've gone all day without wearing prescription lenses. And he says, you know, weirdly, he says, the one eye that is now marvelous that I have, you know, fixed will take over for the other eye. And he says, you might be fine. And you want to know something? I'm fine. Prior to all of this, I could not read street signs very well at all. Even with glasses on, you know, I mean, I'd have to close my left eye and I'd use my right eye and I could read that. Now, I'm not wearing glasses at all. I read street signs. I drive at night. I was at my computer club meeting tonight, and I drove there. I drove back. No glasses on. I felt fine. Felt wonderful. So, yeah, isn't that nice? I turn on the computer. I can see all. I've been looking. I should have done radio like an hour and a half ago, but I've been looking at all these gardening sites and looking at beautiful flower pictures and things like this on the internet, which I could not do for the last, year and a half. I just, you know, I can't look at a computer screen for very long. Well, now I can, and I see all the beauty. And now I'm looking at this program that I used to record on, and I'm seeing all the beauty of this program. I can see it all, and it's wonderful. And I'm not wearing glasses. I guess I should put readers on if I wanted to read the fine print, but I don't need to right now because I can't. But I'm looking at a picture of my grandson that I keep on the table here, and there's printing on the side because it was taken at the Clearwater Aquarium, and I can't read that print. But here, let me put these readers on, and from here, I can now read that print. Well, that's pretty good with the readers. Take the readers off. Okay. All right, so anyway, yard is needing, you know, and my neighbors are bugging me today. Neighbors are saying, you know, we need fertilizer, don't you think? I said, I've already fertilized. Well, what should I use? I said, you know, I would get, you know, what do you got? And the neighbor across the street, that this nice couple, very nice couple, I got them using a citrus fertilizer on everything, on all of their shrubs. The neighbor that used to live there was a friend of mine. And he sold the house to this young couple, and he moved to Alaska, of all things. And he had that place landscaped pretty nice. And so I said, you know, get some citrus. So they went and they bought some Sunnyland citrus fertilizer. And I said, then get some Milorganite and throw it on the ground. So they're going to get some Milorganite and throw it on the ground. Nice organic, you know, wonderful organic fertilizer to put on there. And it'll be good. I've already put Milorganite on my grass. It's really, really good. I got this other stuff that was given to me that I put down, and I kind of wished I hadn't, because that's why I think I'm having to mow the grass now. But the Milorganite is wonderful, and it's doing very, very well. So before you know it, I was talking to one of my relatives in Michigan, and they had tons of snow. Well, now they've had a bunch of ice, but you know, before, and they're gardeners, man, they are gardeners to the hilt. But before you know it, you know, by the end of this month, it's things are going to start changing, and you're going to see things start to grow. Here in West Central Florida, things are growing all over the place right now. But up north, things are going to start to grow. My daughter, who lives out in Dodge City, Kansas, Instagrammed me a picture of a tree out in her yard covered with ice right now. And she can't wait to plant something. She cannot wait to start gardening. God bless her. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. got some good questions to answer this week. I guess I should get started on it. Oh, hi, everyone. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. As I adjust the microphone, I am the chief geek in charge here. Yeah, that's who I am. And I got questions. I got a bunch of roundup questions, and I'm just like over roundup questions. And most of them aren't questions. They're just asking me why I'm poisoning the earth because I use Roundup. And I just really don't want to get into that. I don't use much Roundup. I don't. I really don't. But I do use, and I don't use Roundup. I use the generic version of it because it's a lot cheaper. Glyphosate is the active ingredient, and that's what I use. And I don't use it in a lot of places. I use it around my fence line. Now, I could do better and, you know, build a bed out there and put something down to where I don't need to use it, but I just haven't done that yet. Been planning on it for about 12 years, but I haven't done it yet, okay? I'm still planning on it. You know, at my old house, I used to go up on the road. I had a backyard that had this obnoxiously wonderful above-ground pool. It was the biggest above-ground pool I had ever seen in my life. And I had a big backyard, and this was a very long, oval-shaped above-ground pool that was there when I bought the house. It was there. And I had kids. I said, okay, you know, this is good. We're going to, you know, have a pool. Plague upon my innocence to the great despair of my ugly life. But I said, I'm going to landscape around this pool. You know, what could go wrong? And I planted, first thing I did is I planted hibiscus all the way around there because I figured it would hide the pool. It would bloom out nice, and it would be very pretty. And my kids are in the pool swimming, and I get, you know, the chlorine water is going. Oh, guess what? All the hibiscus died. I said, oh, yeah, okay. That isn't going to work. I said, maybe I should put a hardy shrub around there. And I think that would tolerate it better. Hibiscus is, you know, a little, I don't know. I was dumb. So I put Viburnum suspensium, the slower growing Viburnum, I put around there. I figured, okay, it'll be a nice green hedge. It'll be fine. It all died. Because kids splashing, water going over the thing. You know, just so then I became frustrated. I mean, I just became, had a vegetable garden in the backyard, worked on that. That was good. But landscaping the backyard with that obnoxious pool just drove me crazy. And I used to climb up on the roof. I was younger then. I used to go sit up on the roof and look at my backyard. You know, I'd look at the pool. I would look, you know, kids swimming in the pool. The lovely former Mrs. Kroos swimming in the pool. And I would sit up there and look at the pool and look at the yard, and I would just sit there and try and figure out. And my neighbor came over to borrow something. And my wife said, he's on the roof. What? He's on the roof. So he goes over and he sees the ladder. He climbs up on the roof, and I'm sitting up on the roof. He goes, do you have any beer? I want some beer. I said, I don't drink beer. But I said, we have a six-pack of beer that we bought, it's there, and we bought it for something. And I think, you know, my wife's dad was coming over, and he didn't come over, and he drinks beer, but I got that. He goes, I'll be right back. So he comes down, you know, he climbs up there, and he's got the six-pack of beer. And he's sitting there, and he hands me a beer. And I'm polite. I open the beer, and I'm drinking. He goes, why do you, he says, I hear from the other neighbors that you climb up here a lot looking at your backyard. Why do you do that? I said, I am pondering this backyard, deciding what I want to do with it, how I want to plant it. Everything I plant around that pool dies. I don't know what to do. I got to try something this. I got to try something this. I'm thinking of putting raised bed planters around there so the water won't get into the pool. He goes, you're like overthinking this. I said, yeah, I know. And he starts talking philosophy. Oh, man, you know, I said, get off my roof. Take your beer and go. So he left. He took the rest of the beer and he left. And I sat there and I said, yeah, raised bed planters around the pool. So I went and I put together two raised bed planters, not large ones, and I put them on one side of the pool. And I put it in there and I planted Lyropi in the raised bed planters. And they grow and they have a nice little purple flower on the end of my finger. You know, the water from the pool isn't going to get on them. They're going to be just fine. Well, you know what? I got kids that swim in the pool, and they splash water. It was going right into the raised beds. They all died. And it just drove me crazy. And so, and then my wife said, you got to put the ladder away. the neighbors are talking. You look weird going up there looking at the, you know, you sit up there as the sun goes down on the roof looking at the backyard. They're going to think, you know, you're looking at the neighbor behind us in his backyard. They're going to think you're weird. You got to stop this. I said, okay. So being very, very frustrated, very, 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 very frustrated, I just decided that I had to do something big. And it took me a year to do something big. But the kids stopped swimming in the pool. Everybody stopped using the pool. But I said, as soon as I plant something around there, everybody's going to start using the pool again. And I'm having to take care of the pool. Kids take care of the pool. No, dad's taking it. I like taking care of the pool. It's kind of a zen thing. But I got up on a Sunday morning. Yeah, Sunday morning. I got up. And you know those little, this was in the 90s, okay? Those little electric screwdrivers. They have those little electric screwdrivers. They're, you know, you can get them on your drill, but this was like a little handheld electric screwdrivers. Well, I had one of those in my laundry room that, you know, plugged in. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, I get up and there's my swimming pool. My swimming pool's green. I go out there with my electric screwdriver and I start taking the pool apart with the electric screwdriver. Brr, brr. My wife wakes up. She's looking out the window. What are you doing? I said, go back to bed. I can't go back to bed. You're making noise. And she then discovered that I was taking the pool apart. I sat there and I took the whole swimming pool apart. And I'm working on the backside of the pool, right? And finally, I'd taken so many things off of it and everything had just come down that I didn't think much about all the water that was in there and how much water was in there. And it's Sunday morning and it's now like 7:30. And it's hot and it's steamy outside. And all of a sudden, it was like this giant, the whole pool just kind of went kaboosh. And this wall of water, green water, comes flying out and comes right over the top of me. I didn't fall down or anything, just came right over the top of me and hits my fence, my privacy fence in the back. And it just starts going through the privacy fence. And I look over the privacy fence and my neighbor in the back, who didn't like me, didn't like anybody, had about, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 inches of green water all over their backyard. And I said, oh, well, they were at church, which is a good thing. And I said, how long is it going to take for that to, you know, go away? But it didn't stay there long. It absorbed into the grass relatively quickly. And, you know, and just that, the noise that this thing made woke up my kids. And my kids come out and say, Daddy's destroying our swimming pool. You know, And my wife is saying, you need to put the pool back together. I said, no. I took the whole pool apart and took my pickup truck, loaded the whole thing up in my pickup truck, took 4 loads. And I took it up to my office, which was 11 miles away. We had this big dumpster at my office. And by the way, I was in a complex. We shared the dumpster where there was 4 of us in there. Shared the dumpster. And the dumpster was empty. I had it overflowing with my swimming pool. And this is on Sunday, right? And the garbage guy doesn't come until Wednesday. You're not putting another thing in there because it's like piled sky high. And of course, you know, when I went back to work on Monday, they're saying, somebody filled up our dumpster with a swimming pool. I said, oh, who would do such a thing? But I got rid of that. And it was from that moment on that I could visualize that backyard, which is what I was getting to, a long way getting there. And I visualized that backyard, and I decided, you know what? I hired a guy with a bobcat, came out there, because the pool, even though it was an above-ground pool, was down, and the earth was, there was a big gap in there. Brought in 11 loads of dirt, moved things around, dug up 2 palm trees, dug a big trench in the backyard, buried the palm trees in the trench. That was a mistake, but I didn't learn it was a mistake till later. Leveled everything off. It took 11 pallets, 400 square feet per pallet of grass to put that lawn up. And I'll never forget the following Saturday, they delivered the grass on Friday, I don't know, about 6 o'clock at night. They come out and they spotted the pallets around. We're going to spot it so you can go from one pallet to the next. And they were very good. You know, they put the pallets out there. Next morning, Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, I get the kids up. I said, we're going to go lay sod. My daughter, God bless my daughter, who was like 12 at the time, she went right to work. She went out there and said, let's go get this done. She went right there. You know, I said, here's the instructions. You put the sod down with the green side up. And that's what we did. And then from there, we landscaped. It was fabulous. I could visionary, you know, can't do it with this backyard. Still working on it. Maybe I need to go up on the roof. I don't know. So people want to know about nitrogen. Got me a long, drawn-out email today about nitrogen sources and fertilizer and the importance of nitrogen in growing plants. And lots and lots and lots and lots of questions, primarily being, Michael, do you use any inorganic forms of nitrogen? And if so, why? Well, I guess I should tell you about nitrogen. Nitrogen is that first number in fertilizer. You've heard me talk about this before. If you're new, let me just tell you. Fertilizer has three main components. It has nitrogen, which is what we're talking about. The next one is phosphorus, and the next one is potassium. It has all three of those things. Isn't that nice? I think that's nice. Makes me happy. Those are all there. Nitrogen, being one of the most important, gets things growing. Gets plants to grow very quickly, makes grass grow, makes trees grow, makes vegetables grow. Very important. But when you get to nitrogen, there's just not just nitrogen. There's different types of nitrogen. There's fast-release nitrogen. There's moderately-released nitrogen, not very much of that, and slow-release nitrogen. There's organic nitrogen. By the way, all of the organic nitrogen is very slow-release. Okay. And there's inorganic nitrogen. And then there's nitrogen that is a chemical nitrogen. It's an inorganic nitrogen that people like to confuse you and tell you it's food grade. Urea. Urea is a chemical nitrogen, even though it could be considered food grade and they actually do use it mixed with some cattle feed. It's still a chemical form of nitrogen. The fast-release nitrogens includes ammonium nitrate, ammoniacal nitrogen, which is basically the same thing, urea, which is similar, but not quite there. Ammonium nitrate, for instance, is a 3800 fertilizer. Urea is a 4500 fertilizer. The thing about this is when they get wet, they disperse and goes into the plant, either through the roots or, you know, into the foliage of the plant. Happens very, very quickly. Boom, goes the dynamite. You put it on and immediately it goes to work, just like that. And it doesn't last long. It leaches down through the ground very, very quickly, or in the case of a lot of rainfall, it leaches and goes down into the streets and eventually works its way down the sewers and into the waterways. And so that is why there's a lot of people who do not like inorganic forms of nitrogen. If it is managed well, it is fine and will not hurt you or the environment. In agriculture, it needs to be managed better than it is. In use around your yard, I don't think it's going to be a problem for you. I really don't. I haven't seen any scientific data stating that the use of fast-release nitrogen in your yard or on your plants or in your landscape is going to damage the environment, primarily because we don't use that much, and what we use goes to work right away, depending upon our soil type, and it's just not that bad of a problem for us. Although, where I live, they have fertilizer bans because they do not want this nitrogen in the summertime when it's raining a lot to get washed down into the sewage. So you cannot fertilize at all. And they've also stated that fertilizer sold where I live, at least half of the nitrogen has to be slow release. So that is, you know, how that's been legislated. The slow release nitrogens are made up of dead fish. That would be one source. Poop is another source. People poop or chicken poop or animal poop, but it's basically manure based. Okay. Turkey feathers, believe it or not, turkey feathers and things like that can be ground up and used as a slow release form of nitrogen. Ringer Lawn Restore, which is a famous nationwide form of organic fertilizer, uses turkey feathers as their nitrogen source. How's that? So those are the slower release forms of nitrogen. On my yard, I primarily use milorganite. Milorganite is 100% organic nitrogen. It comes from poop, from Milwaukee, from the sewage system. And I got to tell you, it naturally comes with about a 5.25% iron built into it, which is wonderful. It will green up your lawn. It will green up your shrubs. It will green up everything. And it lasts a long time. You know, it is just a marvelous, marvelous fertilizer. But some grasses need a combination of that and a fast-release nitrogen. A 16-4-8 with, if you buy a 16, well, they don't sell a 16-4-8 anymore because they've taken, where I live, they've taken phosphorus out of the equation. They sell a 16-0-8 fertilizer, the 16 being the nitrogen, but half of that 16 is going to be slow-release nitrogen, which is either going to be manure-based or another, and I'm getting so technical and it's so boring, but they will take fast-release nitrogen, like urea, and they will encapsulate it in sulfur, which is kind of cool because the sulfur breaks down slowly and releases the nitrogen slowly, and you get the benefit of having the sulfur in the soil, which helps the soil. So that's kind of cool. Others use a plastic material to encapsulate the nitrogen, and that breaks down and releases very slow. Osmocote, for instance, if you're familiar with Osmocote, I just rubbed my eye. I don't think I'm supposed to rub my eye, but I just by habit rubbed my left eye, which I had a cataract removed from yesterday. And they said, don't rub your eye, and I just rubbed my eye. I can still see. Okay, I got to put drops in it here in a minute too. But anyway, Osmocote has a plastic type coating on its nitrogen source, which releases very, very, very slowly. So that is a good thing. So I'm a big one on organic nitrogen, but on occasion, you need to use a nitrogen that is a chemical based that is a little bit more, you know, released a little more quickly to get to the plants. Lawn care companies traditionally will use a faster release nitrogen on their lawns because people, when they pay somebody to come out and fertilize their yard, they want that yard to green up. Or if they go and they buy fertilizer at, you know, the nursery or the box store and they put it on the grass, they want that grass to green up. So the chemical goes there. I am a patient man. I wait for the milorganite. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek.